Great to be with y'all. Thank you for your kind hospitality. Your pastor has meant a lot to me over the last few years. He is a good friend. I wasn't ordained that long ago, and we don't talk that often, but every time we do, he refreshes my soul, and so you're tremendously blessed to have him here. He's a good friend. Appreciate him. I want to speak to you this morning about abundant forgiveness. This is the word of God from Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. Ephesians 3 and verse 20. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. And back from the Old Testament in Exodus chapter 34 and verse 6. Exodus chapter 34 and verse 6. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth. I believe we said last night that abundance is a lot. Abundance above is a lot more than a lot. And our God is abundant in His grace, isn't He?
Yes.
In His goodness and in His truth. God is also abundant in His forgiveness to us. You know, forgiveness is at the very heart of Christianity. We talk a lot about grace, mercy, and love of God, and they're wonderful. We have an awesome God, don't we? Well, the object, one of the objects of that mercy, grace, and love is forgiveness. It's the center of our faith. Our God is full of grace, mercy, and forgiveness. Forgiveness isn't easy for us, though, is it? And it's costly. And it cost God His Son. Years ago, a friend was visiting us, and as she was leaving, she was backing out of the driveway, and she's waving out the window and still talking to us, and she just plowed our mailbox down. She was upset, and she was sorry, and promised to pay us for the mailbox. Well, I went to Home Depot and got a new mailbox and put it up. Crickets. Nothing. A week goes by. Then a month goes by. Then several months goes by. Hadn't heard from our friend. Well, I was out the money. Not a lot of money, but we were young marrieds at the time, and it was a lot of money to us. So it was costly to me. And to be honest, I was a little bit ticked at our friend. I was. She owed us. Well, after a while, I realized she wasn't going to pay. And I had to make a decision. Would I continue to hold a grudge against her, or would I forgive the debt she owed me? Finally, I said, oh, well, it's not going to happen. She was kind of a flake, but she was a good friend. And I forgave her. But it cost me something. I had taken on the cost. I had forgiven her debt. I basically paid her debt for her by forgiving her. That's what God does for us. He forgives our sin debt. A lot more than a crumpled mailbox. But He forgives our sin debt. You know, it's often hard for us to forgive, yet God forgives abundantly, abundantly. Philip Yancey, in his book, What's So Amazing by Grace, he wrote this. He said, I never find forgiveness easy, and rarely do I find it completely satisfying. Nagging injustices remain, and the wounds still cause pain. I have to approach God again and again, yielding to Him the residue of what I thought I had committed to Him long ago. I do so because the Gospels make clear the connection. God forgives my debt as I forgive my debtors. I want to look at three different facets of forgiveness this morning. First of all, I want to look at eternal forgiveness. Secondly, I want to look at daily forgiveness. And then third, I want to tie it all together with forgiveness for forgiveness. Eternal forgiveness. God, through Christ, forgives our sins once and for all eternity. Daily forgiveness. God forgives us daily when we repent. relieving our guilty consciences and giving us peace in our hearts with Him. And God forgives us as we forgive others. See how this works. Let's start with a scripture that shows how God forgives us abundantly. As we said, abundantly means large quantities of something. It's a lot. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 6. Isaiah 55:6. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Abundantly pardon. God will abundantly pardon and forgive. He abundantly forgives in all the ways I just listed, eternally, daily, and as we forgive others. Tim Keller, a preacher in New York, I like his books a lot. He's written a book called The Prodigal God, not The Prodigal Son, but The Prodigal God. It's his take on the parable of the prodigal son that Jesus said, but he looks at it from a couple of different perspectives. One is that in addition to the behavior of the prodigal son being outrageous, Keller says the behavior and grace of God is outrageous too, but in a good way, of course. He makes the point that God's grace and forgiveness is off the charts good. The prodigal son's behavior was off the charts bad. That's the true story of the prodigal son, is the grace of God and his abundant forgiveness. Let's take a look at this abundant forgiveness of God. You know, forgiveness, as I said, is a unique thing in Christianity. No other religion or philosophy in the world offers forgiveness like Christ did. He freely gave his children forgiveness based only on his grace and love for us, not because anything that we've done or anything or us accepting the forgiveness or anything. That's eternal forgiveness, salvation by grace. The forgiveness of sins by grace. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Rich in grace, abundant in grace. This was done one time on the cross for the chosen of God, the elect. Jesus forgave all of the sins of all of the elect when he died on the cross. Colossians chapter 2, verse 13. Colossians 2:13. And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. He didn't leave one out. All trespasses. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. When Jesus said it's finished, it was finished. When he said it was finished on the cross, our sins were forgiven. His righteousness was placed on us. He took our sins on him and he died to them. That was the greatest exchange in the history of the earth. His righteousness for our sin. Great for us, terrible for him. This is the abundant forgiveness of God for all eternity. Eternal forgiveness of sins was done once on the cross. A preacher back in Georgia, he said, we believe in the Jesus plus nothing doctrine of salvation. I like that. You know, let me just want to side here. You know, if none of us had ever sinned, but if just one person had committed one sin, Jesus would have still had to die on the cross. He would have. Think about that. Every sin you commit is that one sin that would have caused Jesus to have to die on the cross. That's the abundant forgiveness of God. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. All of the many, many sacrifices of those Old Testament lambs pointed forward to the day when Jesus, the ultimate Lamb of God, would die once for the sins of his children. None of those Old Testament lambs actually forgave one sin or redeemed one sin. They were merely shadows or symbols pointing forward to the true Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, who would die for all the sins of all of his people. The second thing I want to look at is daily forgiveness. I think God gives this to us today when he forgives us daily of our sins, removing the guilt from our hearts and minds and letting us know that he's removed them from us as far as the east is from the west. Psalms 86:5. For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. This is the forgiveness we get when we repent and ask for his forgiveness. It's not the eternal forgiveness of Christ. It's that daily forgiveness that we need and we can have if we ask God to forgive us. This is the second facet of forgiveness. Let's look at the Lord's Prayer and see this. This is Matthew chapter 6, verse 9. Matthew 6, verse 9. After this manner, therefore, pray ye. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now listen to this next sentence. I'm going to come back to this in a minute. This is the first thing that Jesus decided to enlarge on after he taught the disciples how to pray. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. That's pretty pointed. I don't think this is talking about the eternal forgiveness of sins that Christ accomplished on the cross. Eternal forgiveness is unconditional, right? We all agree on that. But this daily forgiveness is conditional. He says, I'll forgive your debts if you forgive your debtors. It can't be the same thing. I think it's talking about a forgiveness that you feel. You feel this relief from the guilt of your sins. When you forgive others, God forgives you. He's just to forgive you. God gives you this relief and this feeling that you've been truly forgiven when you repent and ask him for forgiveness. Of course, you must be forgiven of your sins eternally first before you have that desire to call out to him and repent of your sins. So you've already been forgiven eternally, and you have God's Spirit living in you that allows you to call out to him and ask for forgiveness. This is a practical forgiveness. It relieves our guilty consciences so that we can have peace with God. Notice in the Lord's Prayer that we ask for our daily bread. We also need to repent daily and ask for forgiveness as Jesus taught us to pray. How many of you can go a day without sinning? Not me. We need to repent daily of our sins. Jesus has already died for our sins for eternity, but we need to die to them daily. Repent and ask forgiveness because we're still sinners. We still have that old sin nature, those battling natures within us, the old man and the new man. We have a desire to call out to God and repent, but we still have that old nature that sins every day. The third facet is forgiveness for forgiveness. We get forgiveness from our sins when we forgive others. That's what the Scripture says. Again, I don't think this is referring to eternal forgiveness, but that ongoing daily forgiveness that we get as we forgive others, that peace in our hearts. But we only get this daily forgiveness and this peace in our hearts if we forgive others. That's what the Scripture says. He's going to forgive you as you forgive your debtors. So how are we supposed to do this? How does this work? I love it because Jesus never leaves anything to doubt. He gave us an instruction manual. It's right here. Matthew chapter 18, verse 15. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as an heathen man and a publican. He gives you four different steps to take here. Don't leave out the first one. Don't leave out the first one. I've talked to some people who were so angry, they said, well, I'm just going to bring it to the church. As if they would enjoy showing that their brother's wrong and that they're right. That attitude. That's not what this is teaching. You want to solve it just between the two of you. Thou hast gained thy brother. That's the goal. You want to gain your brother. You don't want to prove that you're right. You don't want to win. You want to gain your brother. That's the goal. But you have to have the right heart to do this. Pray that God first, before you go to him, pray that God will help you to have a forgiving spirit. I've talked with people who have said, you know, I tried to do that, but they just won't change. We had a good conversation, and they just do the same thing again. Again, Jesus gave us instruction. Matthew chapter 18, verse 21. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me? And I forgive him till seven times? Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. You know, you got to love Peter here. Peter was, I think he genuinely wanted to do the right thing. How many times, Lord? Seven? You know, Peter was a good Jew now. And Jewish law, Jewish teaching said that you should forgive not once or twice, but three times, right? So Peter thought, I'm going to be really generous. I'm going to double the three and add one. That ought to do it. But no. Jesus isn't talking about the legality of it all. He's teaching forgiveness by grace. Yeah. Forgiveness by grace. Abundant forgiveness. He says 7 times 70. That doesn't mean 490 times. That means limitless forgiving. That's what that means. You're never supposed to stop forgiving. Right after this, Jesus tells the parable of the unforgiving servant. You may know this story. Matthew chapter 18, verse 23. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him, which owed him 10,000 talents. But forasmuch as he had not to pay, the Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. Aren't you glad we don't have debtors' prisons anymore? The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. But that same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that which thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth. He was angry. He was mad. And delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. That's the result right there. You know, notice in this parable that the king forgave his servant of 10,000 talents. That he owed the king. But but his servant wouldn't forgive another servant for 100 pence. Well, I looked this up. 10,000 talents, according to what I saw, is 200,000 years of day labor wages. It's hundreds of millions of dollars in today's money. A debt this man could not possibly pay. 100 pence is 100 days wages for a day laborer. Much, much, much less. So the lesson is that the king forgave his servant abundantly for something he couldn't possibly repay. We can't possibly repay our sin debt.
That's right. Amen. That's right.
And the Lord forgave us abundantly, but the servant would not forgive his fellow servant for much, much less. When we compare one of our brothers who has offended us and that sin against us to the sin that the Lord has forgiven us, there's no comparison. It's 10,000 talents versus 100 pence. That's what it is. God has forgiven us for more than we could ever repay. So can't we forgive our brother or our sister for much less? We should. We have no excuse. Luke chapter 17, verse 3. Take heed to yourselves. Listen up. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee seven times in a day, and seven times in a day, turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. And the apostle said unto the Lord, increase our faith. This ain't going to be easy. What if your brother doesn't repent? He doesn't see the offense. He's stubborn or whatever. Then follow Matthew 18. Take someone with you. But be wise about it. Don't just take somebody who's on your side. Take someone who's spiritual and wise, who you think will have good judgment in the matter. Someone who's kind and gentle. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. You know, the apostles recognized how hard this was going to be. They said, Lord, increase our faith. Lord, you're going to have to help us. We can't do this on our own. That's why you go to the Lord in prayer first before you go to talk to somebody. Ask for that forgiving spirit. You're going to need the help. Gandhi once said, the weak can never forgive. Forgiveness is an attribute of the strong. You have to be strong to forgive. It's costly. It's going to cost you something. What are the consequences if we don't do what Jesus said? This is the next verse after the Lord's Prayer. We talked about it earlier, Matthew 6, 14. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Again, I don't think Jesus is talking about eternal forgiveness here. That's not in doubt. That's not in jeopardy. This is referring to relieving our guilty consciences of our sins. God won't give you the peace of forgiveness in your heart unless you forgive others. You'll continue to carry that guilt around, that guilt of your sins, including your unforgiveness in your hearts and mind, torturing us. Unforgiveness is one of those strongholds that we build. We put ourselves in a prison of unforgiveness. We build a stronghold, we build bars around it, and we put a roof on it. We do. Someone once said, unforgiveness is taking poison, hoping someone else will die. It is. That's what it becomes for us. It's this poison inside of us that eats us up like a cancer inside. But if we forgive, we're set free from our guilt. Christian author Lewis Smead said this. He said, to forgive is to set a prisoner free and discover that the prisoner was you. We're in prison when we don't forgive. We put ourselves in prison. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. You see, that's the reason we should do it. Because God through Christ has forgiven us. We should do the same. You ever heard somebody say, often through gritted teeth, well, I forgive him, but I won't forget. You ever heard that? That's not true forgiveness. You're still in prison. Let's not have that spirit of forgiveness. I'm not saying it's always going to be easy. The apostle said it wasn't going to be easy. Increase our faith, Lord. The writer C.S. Lewis, the man who wrote the Narnia, Chronicles of Narnia and some other books, he said that he had been holding a grudge against a man for over 30 years, and he'd been praying for 30 years that he'd be able to forgive him. And he said one night during his prayers, he felt it go away. He felt that he had forgiven the man after 30 years of praying for that. And he said after that he was a happier man because of it. He was not a slave to that unforgiveness. anymore. There's a story about a wife who was unfaithful to her husband. And she left her husband and small children, went to live with her boyfriend. And soon she was just miserable, consumed with guilt, on her old doorstep, shaking and mourning over that guilt. Her husband took her back, and he loved her. He forgave her. Well, a week later, she found out that she was expecting a baby. The husband continued to love her, and the baby, even though he wasn't the father of that baby. People marveled that he could be so forgiving. He simply told them this: how could I not do it when Christ has forgiven me so much? That's the only way we can do it, because Christ has forgiven us so much. So eternal forgiveness, when Christ died for us once, he did it one time, one and done. That was it. Two, daily forgiveness, when we repent every day on our knees and beg God to forgive us of our sins. And forgiveness for forgiveness is conditional. This is not unconditional forgiveness. That's eternal forgiveness. It's conditional. God will forgive you and relieve your guilty conscience if you forgive others. If we really want to love, we must learn to forgive. That was Mother Teresa, a woman who loved hundreds and thousands of people in India. She equated love with forgiveness. C.S. Lewis also said this: to be a Christian means to forgive the inexcusable. There may be no excuse for what your brother did, but he said to forgive the inexcusable because God has forgiven the inexcusable in you. There's no other religion or philosophy or worldview that has the concept of forgiveness like Christianity and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's by grace and love that we forgive, not because of anything that we've done to deserve the forgiveness. So let us pray the words that Jesus taught us: forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. May the Lord bless you.